Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and part one of our study of Luke chapter 11 verses 21 through 23 titled, He That Is Not With Me Is Against Me. You may send any questions, comments, or prayer requests you may have to BBFOhio at protonmail.com. Or you can mail those along with any check or money order contributions to support our work made out to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. Donations can also be made at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button. And now we begin with a current events update, followed by our study in Luke chapter 11, verses 21 through 23, titled, He That Is Not With Me Is Against Me.
Current events update. They want your guns to take the rest of your liberties. All other liberties hinge on the Second Amendment in this country. If you go to any country where they have taken the guns, you will find they've taken their liberties. Here are the facts that you will not hear presented by most mainstream sources, whether it's news or entertainment, doesn't matter, in the public schools, wherever. If we really care about children in this country, then in our public schools, we would teach them the facts about guns, including gun safety. Amen. And instead, they just tell children to be irrational and fear guns. And that's the wrong approach. 92% of mass shootings since 2009 have occurred in gun-free zones. Just think, if you have a clear mind and you can think right now, when you walk up to a building, especially a school building with, in some cases, hundreds of young people and teachers and everyone else, and it says on the front, this is a gun-free zone. What you're telling any lunatic or wicked person, if they want to kill a bunch of people, that's the best place to be.
Yeah.
So it lacks all common sense. I played a clip from Ronald Reagan back in like 1983, and he said, you know, gun control laws all have one thing in common. They're all ignored by criminals.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
he said he had personal experience.
He had personal experience with that.
Yeah.
So there's the facts. A 2013 U.S. Department of Justice study found that gun violence had fallen by nearly 50% since its 1993 peak. You see, they're trying to make you think that there's an increase in gun violence and everything. Listen, we're in a world with 7.5 billion people. There's 325 to 350 million people just in America. You're going to have everything happen almost daily. So then the news media can take anything they want and then turn it into a, you know, oh, crisis. We have a crisis. Think about it. When you see the next crisis, go do a little research and you'll find out nothing actually changed. We've had the same things happen over and over for decades. They just decided now's the time to make it a crisis. And they create these crises so that they can take your liberties from you. That's the whole point of it. Guns are used 2.5 million times a year in self-defense in the United States. There are people not killed, people not raped, businesses and homes not robbed every year because of guns.
Amen.
And if they weren't guns, then your country would be like all the countries where there aren't guns, where anybody at any time can use a gun to do anything they want. The following countries enacted gun bans before committing genocide in the 20th century. Ottoman Turkey, the Armenian genocide. Soviet Union. Nazi Germany. Communist China. Guatemala. Uganda. Cambodia.
Yep.
Every one of those countries, people like you were murdered. But they first took away the guns. And then after they took away the guns, they slaughtered people by the millions. That's how serious this is. So those are the facts. There's a bunch of sources, crimeresearch.org, bjs.gov, cato.org, mercyseat.net, a bunch of different places. We can give you those if you want to do some more research on that, where this all this information can be found. In the meantime, your government is purchasing murdered baby body parts. Did you know this?
Wow.
Your government is using taxpayer money to purchase baby parts from murdered babies. Body parts from murdered babies. This came in the email from Judicial Watch with Tom Fitton. More shocking details of FDA purchases of fetal tissue. Agency wanted fresh, shipped on wet ice, fetal organs.
Wow.
That's folks, that is Nazi Germany in America.
That's right.
It's the Food and Drug Administration federal agency.
And that's taxpayer money being used. They spend taxpayer money to murder unborn children, and then they use taxpayer money to buy body parts. And that's the government who's also using this pandemic that isn't a pandemic in order to scare you, in order to take control of your economy.
Yep.
The survival rate for anyone under the age of 70 who's healthy is over 99.9%.
Amen.
But if you won't turn off the news and you won't stop listening to these liars, they can scare you into walking around with a mask on. Even when you're walking your dog by yourself, sitting in your car all by yourself with a mask on. I see it all the time. People riding their bikes, people out jogging with a mask on. Folks, it doesn't get any dumber than that. Now, if you are one of the people who are in those, you know, if you're over 65 or so, you have underlying conditions. I don't fault you for wearing a mask. I don't fault you for social distancing, doing whatever you can. But I'm talking about the other 99% of society who is being shut down, having their businesses destroyed, having their lives ruined. People are committing, the suicide rate's going through the roof. All because of a fictitious pandemic. And then they want you now to take a COVID vaccine that isn't a vaccine.
Yep.
It's experimental gene therapy. And after you take the vaccine, you will still need to wear your mask. You will still need to social distance. We will still need lockdowns. Why? Because it's not a vaccine. And it doesn't keep you from getting COVID. It's just supposed to help your body create proteins to attack the spikes that are on the COVID molecule, etc. And it's not working very well. And you have thousands of people getting blood clots, anaphylactic shock, hundreds of people in the United States, hundreds of people in the UK, hundreds of people in other countries are dying after getting that shot.
Yep. That's right.
All a shot that's going to make some people rich who are already filthy rich.
Yep.
Folks, we are being played as a society right now. There are a handful of people with the guts to stand up and say something about it. But most people are showing this world is ripe and ready for the Antichrist.
Right.
They are ripe and ready. Because
right.
When he comes along, it'll be a real crisis.
Yeah.
Things are really going to be bad. And if you don't take that mark, you'll starve. You won't be able to work. All this vaccine passport stuff, it's not the mark of the beast, but it's laying the groundwork for the mark of the beast. And anybody pushing mandatory vaccines is a Nazi. Go read the Nuremberg Code. The Nuremberg Code says pushing a mandatory vaccine is a violation of your human rights.
Amen.
The sale of body parts harvested during abortions is not generally understood, certainly not the gruesome details of the transactions, but more grotesque details emerge in 575 pages of records that the Judicial Watch team had received from the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, showing the agency spent tens of thousands of taxpayer dollars to buy human fetal tissue from California-based Advanced Bioscience Resources, ABR. The tissue was used in creating humanized mice.
Oh.
What? to test biologic drug products.
Sick.
Humanized mice using baby parts.
Sick.
Your government. Meanwhile, your president is selling out Israel. Israel betrayed. Biden administration resumes aid to Palestinians despite pay for slay. What that means is this. The Palestinians pay their murderers who kill Jews. If you're a suicide bomber, your family gets a check when you kill Jews.
Wow.
And now your tax money is going to pay for that. Thank you, Beijing, senile, reprobate, wicked Biden. You need to pray for your president. He's not only going to hell, but I believe he might be too far gone, reprobate.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's going to take this country with him. And we need to pray for him. And I don't say this with any pleasure. I'm saying it because it's a reality. If you're going to do something for God, you better do it now.
Yeah.
America's days are numbered.
Yep.
The night comes when no man can work. That's right. All right, we're in Luke 11. We're going to read verses 21 to 23, the title of our message today. He that is not with me is against me. He that is not with me is against me. Luke 11, 21 to 23. So if you're there, let's read. Beginning verse 21, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. All God's people say amen.
Amen.
So I want to set the stage this morning with this quote from J.C. Ryle. I just want you to look at that beard for just a moment.
Yeah.
20th century fundamentalists tried to rob us of our facial hair. We're taking it back. Amen. The subject of these words of Christ is mysterious but deeply important. They were spoken concerning Satan and his agency. They throw light on the power of Satan and the nature of his operations. They deserve the close attention of all who would war the Christian warfare with success. Next to his friends and allies, a soldier ought to be well acquainted with his enemies.
Amen.
Now, some people get a little overboard on this and they know more about Satan than they do Jesus.
Yeah.
You don't want to go that far.
Amen.
But you should know what the Bible tells us about Satan.
Amen.
He closes his quote, this is J.C. Ryle still, we ought not to be ignorant of Satan's devices.
Amen.
And ignorance of Satan's devices is usually how Christians fall. The unsaved don't need to fall, they're already fallen. Satan will try to keep them from listening to the gospel and being confronted with that truth, but Satan spends a lot of his time. By the way, Satan can only be at one place at one time.
Yep.
He's not omnipresent like Jesus. He is limited, but he has an unknown number of cohorts. We call devils, plural.
Amen.
And so it might be one of those devils working on you in your life right now. He using Satan's devices to try to pull you away from your relationship with the Lord and pull you into a mindset of the world. That's happening to too many Christians today. Christians are being pulled away from the Lord and pulled into the world.
Yep.
So verse 21 there says, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. So the strong man here is Satan. A strong man armed. Satan is a strong man, and he is armed. Now, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are spiritual. And Satan is a spirit being, and his weapons are spiritual. And that's where a lot of folks they just rely too much in the flesh and not on the spirit, and that's how Satan's able to undermine their relationship with the Lord and cause them to fall. Again, let's tap J.C. Ryle's writings. He says, he has snares of every kind and engines of every description. He knows exactly how every rank and class and age and nation and people can be assailed with most advantage. The devil is well armed.
Yeah.
So verse 21 again says, a strong man armed keepeth his palace. And in this case, that palace is the heart of man. Your heart is a palace. Satan wants to occupy that palace.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to get into an argument this morning over this, the Christians. There's some Christians who believe that because they're saved, they can never be possessed by the devil. I disagree. And people will say, well, it's the Holy Spirit in you. How can the Holy Spirit will not reside with a foul spirit? I got news for you. He already does. He's dwelling with your foul spirit.
Yeah.
You still have a sinful nature.
Yep. Amen.
You still have to battle that sinful nature.
Amen.
And it's as simple as this. Your body is a tent.
Yep.
It's up to you to fill that tent with God.
Amen.
But God doesn't force himself on you. So you had better fill that tent with God and not with the devil. But you can be as deceived as you want on this, but I love you enough to tell you this. If you fill your mind and your heart, you fill your ears and your eyes with satanic garbage, then you are allowing the devil in. And I believe a huge number of professing Christians today have a devil in them. They have opened themselves up to possession. Now, there are a lot of people who like to argue and say, well, I think that's oppression. Fine, believe that if you want, but that suggests that he can only war from the outside. But right here, we're talking about him possessing a palace, which would mean he's inside.
Yep, right.
And it explains what we're seeing today. Folks, every man who stands in the pulpit today and denies that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, denies that Jesus Christ was sinless, denies that Jesus Christ paid for the sins of the world when he died on the cross, shedding his blood, denies that Jesus was bodily resurrected from the grave. You say, where are they doing that? All over the place.
Yeah, that's right.
Then you add on that a pastor, a preacher stands in the pulpit and says that two men or two women can be married, and that preacher perform a wedding so-called ceremony for two men or two women, you're looking at a devil.
Amen.
That fake preacher has a devil in them.
Amen.
Maybe they were never saved. But there's an awful lot of people who made a profession, were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, who went out and even preached the gospel. And now look at them.
Yeah.
Some of my own blood are serving the devil today.
Yeah.
And I pray for them. When I get a chance, I confront them. And you're not doing anybody any favors by pretending that they're not given over to the devil. Their heart, their palace has been taken over by a strong man, Satan. Now, the unregenerate heart is the abode of Satan. Now, there's a special type of devil possession we read about in the Bible where a person is so lost and given over to Satan that they lose control completely, and they hang out in the cemetery naked and foam at the mouth and all kinds of throw themselves in the fire. But see, if you think that's the only way or form that devil possession reveals itself, you're being fooled. There are plenty of devil-possessed people who get up every morning and put on a suit and tie and go to work and do the job that they're set to do. You want to see the devil come out in them, Maybe you need to know them more personally. You see what's going on in their home. See what they do in their personal life. You can go on certain websites every single day. Dozens of people who do not appear to be controlled by the devil. And yet then they're arrested for possessing child pornography. And watching child pornography where children are abused. And they watch that stuff for enjoyment.
Yeah.
Folks, the day before that, they were in a suit or they were in a uniform or, you know, scrubs, whatever. Some of them put on a collar, the priestly garb. Some of them wear a robe on Sundays. Yes. How many of you, or here locally, folks watching online may not know about it, but here locally, a weatherman, we just never would have dreamed. Clean cut, suit and tie, considered one of the, cream of the crop of society until he was caught.
Yeah.
You don't judge a book by the cover, amen?
Amen.
The unsaved have a false peace. Until confronted with the gospel of Christ.
Yeah.
See, your job, now this is going to shock some of you. Because, you know, if you've been listening to the wrong people for years and reading the wrong books and things. But your job, and I'm talking to all, if you consider yourself a Christian, you're saved, born again, believer in Jesus Christ. Your job is to cause division. Did you know that? Jesus himself said, "Think not that I come to bring peace, but I come to bring a sword." Division. What's he mean? Not just running around causing trouble. I mean, if you just run around causing trouble, shame on you. You only have to do one thing for most of the people in your life to hate you.
Yeah.
Just preach the gospel.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
All you have to do is go up to that unsaved relative and preach the gospel. Go up to that unsaved neighbor, preach the gospel. Go up to complete strangers, put it on the bumper of your car. You'll see it.
Yep.
I'm here to tell you, if you don't feel like there's a bunch of people like you and hate you and would rather not be around you, you're just not doing it right.
Yep.
I've said this many times. Jesus did it right, amen? Does everybody agree?
Amen.
Amen. What did they do to Jesus? They killed him. Now, of course, I always have to say, it doesn't mean, you know, you're calling them at 2 a.m. You're not standing outside at, you know, midnight clanging pans and yelling, you know. I'm just talking about in the course of your normal day, you're preaching the gospel. Huh?
That'll get you arrested.
Yeah, that'd also get you arrested, yeah. In Portland, yeah, you'd be part of the neighborhood there. So if you want to be liked, just don't love people enough to present the gospel message. You'll be liked.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the most popular preachers, all but a couple of cases, the most popular preachers tell everybody what they want to hear. They don't call on sinners to repent. They don't tell them Jesus is the only way, and if you don't repent and believe the gospel, you're going to hell. You won't hear that come out of their mouth. But if you preach the gospel, you won't be liked. So if your goal in life is to be liked, just talk about the weather. Don't talk about politics, by the way. I mean, but talk about anything else. But if you do love sinners, introduce them to the stronger man.
Amen.
You see, we read about the strong man, verse 21. But look at verse 22. And by the way, I got to show you this. This is a great way to fellowship too. Brother Dre and I went out Friday and we went up north in the Worthington Woods area and passed out 100 of those tracts. You can see there we put a little rubber band on them. And we handed them to a few people. About half of them rejected them. About half of them took them. And you take a little rubber band, you put it on the doorknob, and it hangs right there on the doorknob. And a good way to fellowship, too. And that's how we found out Tim Hortons was closing at 2 p.m. in some locations. Which, because of the COVID thing, I guess they're having trouble getting people to work or something. We pulled up at 2:05, and they were closed. 2:05 p.m.
Wow.
Yeah, they're lost. That's right. But look at verse 22 now. We were introduced to a strong man. Look what it says in verse 22. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him. That's another thing to remember about Satan. He likes to fool people and make them think he's stronger than he is. Satan is not comparable to Jesus. Jesus is Almighty God in human form when he came to die for sins. Satan is a created being in rebellion, and he's very limited in his power. So verse 22, the strong man is confronted with a stronger than him. And what's it say he'll do? Shall come upon him and overcome him. And by the way, that last part of that verse was what I meant when I was talking about how they do have a false peace. His goods are in peace, but it's a false peace.